MLM is a great thing.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get obsessive.
And so the moment that we had that $1,000 mark, you have that, I'm going to go all in, I believe it. There's no feelings, you intimidate, you beat, you win.
So today we're going to talk to you about a softball player that has taken the sport that she loves and is making money. Not just a little money, pretty good money doing it. Now, you may not be a softball player, you may not have, but you've got something in your life that you love, and you're probably, everybody's got something that they're good at. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk to Carrie, and we're going to dive into how Carrie took something that she loved, and she is making pretty good money doing it. She has a passion for this thing, and she's figured out a way over the last 15 or 20 years on how to monetize it. We're going to talk about some hard work. But this is a really, really interesting journey. She was really, really apprehensive about coming on here. And so when you listen, I want you to hear a woman that is really, really good at what she does, but she hates a camera. So I am super proud of Carrie Foster today coming and joining me. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's go back just a little bit and talk about, so Carrie and I went to college together. She played softball at UAB, really, really good softball player there. You were telling me earlier, go back to even before college.
Yeah. So there wasn't a lot of pitching coaches around. My dad and I traveled Georgia, Tennessee to really do pitching lessons. And again, me and just a couple other were the first ones to start fast pitch, like full circle pitch. We were slingshot. So it was kind of a new thing. And so when I would come back and they saw me doing it, all the little kids at the park would want to come do lessons with me. So I was in high school and I started doing lessons in my backyard.
Now, where did you go to high school?
Hoover High School.
Went to Hoover, which is here in Birmingham. You're going around giving lessons to people while you're in high school?
No, they were coming to my house in my backyard, in the rocks,
Okay, so you are doing... You're doing lessons in high school as a high school athlete. You're giving lessons to kids. When I say kids, what age are we talking about?
Probably 7, 8 to 15.
Okay. So you're doing these lessons. Are you making any money in high school?
I'll say not 15. Probably because I was probably 15 to 18. So I would say 12, I guess.
So probably from anywhere from 7 years old to 12 years old, you're giving these kids lessons. Are they paying you?
Yeah, I was making like 20 an hour.
20 an hour, which is like a fraction of what's... people charge for right now. So you're doing that all through high school. Is your dad helping you?
Not really. I would just go out there and do lessons.
So you're doing them at your house. Mm-hmm. Transition. You're at UAB. You're playing softball at UAB. Are you continuing to do these things then?
Yes, in the off season. Summer and fall, I would try to still do lessons. We'd get a lot of kids from camp, and then I would carry my lessons. When I actually graduated, I had my first kid get their scholarship to a junior college. So I was graduating, so she was only 4 years younger than me, and I had coached her all the way through. So that was kind of cool.
How about a college senior having a kid that you coached go to get a scholarship? That's incredible. So you're doing this. So as you're in college, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I don't know. I was graduating with a master's of science and health education. Mm. And about my sophomore year, they said, what do you want to major in? I said, I don't know.
Just softball.
Get me out of here.
Yeah, as quick as I can. Okay, so you started.
I just got a major, and I had no clue. I kind of went for nursing, but I soon figured out I didn't want to do that, especially when I had to kind of stop softball to do clinicals. So I was just like, at that point, I was like, well, just whatever, get me out of here.
Let's go back a little bit. Who do you feel like was the most important person in teaching you about this craft?
My dad. Mentality. You know, he played at Alabama for Bear Bryant 1 year.
Okay.
So he was super just organized and disciplined and, you know, strategic. He was always teaching me game mindset, plays, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was at this, an older guy that had pitched fast pitch was doing a clinic, and it's 10 people were lined up, and we would travel to see him. He coached all these big Olympic people back in the day. And my dad said, see, you can do this one day.
Wow. So he put that thought in your brain.
Yeah, I didn't know it, though. I didn't think nothing about it until later when I was in college and I had another just godly coach from Mortimer Jordan. I was doing coaching at a clinic at UAB because we had to do that.
Yeah.
We had to do these clinics. And she said, I think you're going to be a coach one day. And I was like, nope.
No, ma'am.
No, I'm not going to teach kids. I'm not going to be a school system. I'm not going to do it. And then I continued to do lessons after I graduated, and I did some personal training. So I'd get up at 5 in the morning, personal train from 6 to 12, fitness together. Remember the fitness?
Yeah, I do.
I took 2 hours off, would take a nap, eat lunch, and then I would go do lessons from 4 to 8.
Wow. Where were you giving lessons at this time?
In Hoover, at the Viper Dome at the time.
So it's just a random facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 22 years old, not playing softball any longer, giving these lessons. Did you think, okay, was this just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for now?
Yeah, but my dad kept asking me, when are you going to get a real job? I was making really good money.
I was going to say.
And it was cash.
Oh, yeah.
So at that time, I was living in an apartment in Lake Shore. Yeah. And I was working, and I was making way more money doing lessons than I was personal training, but personal training was giving me insurance. So it was like, but I didn't want to keep doing it because I hated getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
I didn't really enjoy the job, and I loved lessons. But at the time, I was doing one-on-one for 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and Dad was like, you're capped out. This is all you could ever make. What are you going to do with your life? It was still really good money, but Dad wanted something more, I guess, stable, more somebody's got your insurance, retirement, you know, kind of thing.
My dad thought the same thing.
But I was just like, you can't make the money I make in an 8-hour job than I'm making in a 4-hour job, getting paid cash, working when I want to. So sure. Why would I go work a job?
Okay, so at what point did you think, you know what, my dad's probably wrong, I can make a living doing this?
I've always thought my dad was wrong.
Yeah.
No, I always heeded his advice, but I was always the, if he says I can't do it, I'm going to do it, you know, kind of challenge.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think after about 4 years of doing it.
So you did that for 4 years.
Yeah, I just never stopped. It was just kept going and growing. And I would go to another place that had more space, and I would continue to kind of get, at that time, these indoor facilities were getting bigger and bigger and more, you know. So, actually, I left there and I had my own facility.
Where?
On Lakeshore.
Okay.
It was where Total Softball and Baseball used to be. It was right around the corner on Lakeshore. So,
okay.
I had my own facility, and we actually got turf. Somebody told me we could go to the old baseball place in Birmingham, the old place. They had from the Atlanta Falcons, they had cut AstroTurf and delivered it there. My dad and I went and picked it up.
Yeah, you did.
And we rolled it out, washed it, and got it, rented our own machines, and put the AstroTurf in my building for free.
That's awesome. So how long? So you're doing this for 4 years.
Yeah.
Where does it transition after 4 years?
That's where I was
going at this facility. You're at their own place. Are you personal training still? Or are you just softball?
Nope. So you
transitioned into just doing softball. How much money are you making? You're 26 years old. What do you think you're making at this point?
About $10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month doing softball lessons.
Yeah.
Okay. No debt because you're on some scholarship. Were you on full scholarship?
I was on full scholarship.
Yeah, you were on full scholarship, so you had no debt. Is that not the most liberating thing ever?
Oh,
my God. So you're making $10,000 a month at 26 years old. What are you doing financially? Are you saving or allocating any of that money? No.
Well, I saved it to buy my house. So I was saving enough to put my 20% down on my house.
Okay. So you needed a house.
But I was saving, but I was also blowing.
Were you?
Yeah, I just didn't. There was nothing I had, you know, aspired to like purchase. So I had all this money just sitting there to.
Sometimes people don't want to save just for savings, save just for whatever.
Oh,
yeah, I got it. So Carrie and I have known each other for, I guess 20-something years now. So at some point, and we've kept in relatively decent contact, even though I moved away for 15 years. We've talked on and off for years and years and years. Most of it's been about business stuff. But at some point, you started selling essential oils. Tell me about that.
I'm trying to remember how it even got started. I think it was just, you know, this like revolution. You know, everybody's talking about it, doing it. And I'm at church and somebody was telling me I should try something. And when I tried it, I don't even really remember what it was. It worked for me. I think it was allergies. I had grown up with terrible allergies and I did some with that. So I really loved it. And but then you throw me you can make money with it and a challenge, because I was kind of just, there was nothing challenging me with work anymore. I'd capped out, you know, and I just started learning the business, learning the company.
So when you say learning the business, she worked with Young Living. And let's just talk about this. What are your thoughts in general on multi-level marketing?
I love it. I've been a part of two.
Which ones?
Modere and Young Living.
Oh, so both essential oils?
No, Modere is more supplements.
Okay. So you started, so you're making $10,000 a month doing softball. Mm-hmm. And then this Young Living thing comes up. Mm-hmm. And you're just doing it because you feel like you need it.
Yeah, it was just a challenge, see if I could do it.
So there's two ways you do a multi-level marketing. You can buy the products and just do the products. That's great. Every one of them say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Advocare, Young Living, all of them say the same thing. So you started doing the business part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, give me a little bit of an insight to how the business works with a multi-level marketing.
Basically, with this company, because Modera is a little different, and they kind of changed the structure over time, so I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. I was in the company for 10 years, and you start off, and basically you sell people like a membership, and mm-hmm. it comes with like a kit. And once they get that kit, they can either be a customer or they can choose to do the business. And if you did the business, and I could be totally wrong on this, I think it was like a $150 kit, but you make like $50. But the money comes in them talking, them sharing, them creating more customers, and then you get a percent of their customers.
Mm.
But you're getting paid for your guidance, your leadership, your whatever you're doing with them. So I love this structure because it's teaching other people to sell your business and getting them to do the work for you and getting compensated for it.
So you're selling, in essence, Young Living, and then you are working with other people that you've sold Young Living to get them to sell Young Living.
Yes.
It's leadership at an extremely high level. So tell me about the journey of you growing with Young Living.
I'll tell you a funny story. You could get these like kits. You had to sell these kits.
Yeah.
So I would go, I'm over the top on all of it, and you could pre-buy all these kits, like 10 or 20 kits,
okay.
and you get them like on a discount. And I would put these kits in my car, okay. and I would go shopping with my friends, and I would leave that store, and I would tell somebody about it, and I would sell it, and I would just go give them the kit. Because I knew if I had the kit on hand, I could get them to buy it. You wait any longer, then they wouldn't buy it. They would have time to think. And then second guess, and then look at their bank account. But women, we're impulse buyers.
Sure.
So it was like, if I had it on hand, I said, oh, well, here it is.
Here's the
remedy right here. Boom, it was done. Mm. And so I could just flip these kits over and over and over, and I would just, it was, and we'll get into this, but this was what I didn't like about it, was my mentality became, how can I sell every person I talk to about them? It's something that was in me that came out that made me great, but also I didn't like.
Why do you think, okay.
Why
did you not like that?
Because it made me, as a Christian, I wanted, to get to know them as a person and who they were. And, but I was just one track mind, sell them a kit, move on, sell them a kit, move on. It was just not using them, but using the relationship as a purchase.
But if you really think that the product is good,
and it was. It would help them, but it was the motivation behind it.
Yeah. You weren't there to help them. You were there to make the sale.
Yeah. But I knew it would help them, so I'm not. I knew it'd be great for them, but it was that one track mind. You got to get to the top.
But the money's not in making the sale. The money is getting them to sell.
Yeah,
How did you transition into getting them to sell?
It was teaching them the system, teaching in them and putting them in the system, and take them through a linear process of learning how to. Learning the product, then learning how to sell the product, learning how to sell themselves, learning social media, learning the business, award, affirmation, do it again.
They teach you that in order for you to teach others that.
Yeah. And it's kind of coming from the top of how to do all this.
Sure. No, it's sales 101 and it's great. So tell me, you're growing through this.
Yes.
Tell me about that journey. Like, what was the next step in the growth of that? What got you hooked on selling Young Living?
I love the product, number one,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was life-changing. But it became obsessive. There
really?
Was a moment that it became all that you thought about.
Really?
Yeah. It was this lifestyle, or you know how you can take, oh, I'm trying to eat healthy, into a crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it became kind of like that. Just totally, you couldn't even be in a store with perfumes and you're thinking you're getting cancer. Like, it was just obsessive compulsive in my mindset for me of, we had to live a certain way to prevent cancer.
Sure.
You can't prevent anything. God's hands in all of it.
Sure.
I mean, you can do healthy things.
No.
But
yeah.
There's two different mindsets. But.
Okay, so where's softball at this stage?
I'm just rocking and rolling. I was, after a couple of years in my own facility, I moved out into another facility because I had my little girl, and I just didn't want the overhead. And
how old is she now?
She is 18.
Where does she go to school?
She homeschooled. So we homeschooled amongst running two companies.
That's right, you did. Uh-huh. Now, did she play sports?
She did.
Uh-huh.
But I was very intense, and she wasn't. I was very competitive. She wasn't. She didn't care. She was there for the socialization. I was there to win.
Yeah.
So.
I
was like, we're not going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars and spend every weekend at a ball tournament for you to be like.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good. Hung out with my friends. No, we're not doing it. We got to win.
That's right. Okay. So you're doing Young Living. You're doing softball. You have your little girl. Where do those roads get really big really quick?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about how you managed softball at $10,000 a month at that 26 years old, and then how you started growing what ended up being a pretty big Young Living multi-level marketing business.
Yeah. I think I had a team of 6,000. I was making 10 grand a month on it.
On Young Living.
Yeah.
Wow. How long did it take you to get to that point in the multi-level marketing?
8 to 10 years.
But I slowly progressed.
Like 4,000 a month for, I got to 3 to 4,000 a month really quick. That's what keeps you. Once you get to that 1,500 to 2,000, it's like, I'm not leaving now. This is $2,000 a month. Yeah. It's just once you see it. And then they developed an app. And the app would show you if you got 50 more, your paycheck would jump $2,000 more. That's where it hooks you, because I would fixate and I would strategize, and then if I made this, if I sold this many, then I would jump to this. If I sold this many, I'll jump to this, and then you could see what would get you to that 10,000 mark, which was life changing.
Oh yeah, $10,000 a month, life changing.
And it's like, okay, I just need 200 people. I know 200 people.
Yeah.
And then we sell it. You have this many people in this circle, this many people in this circle, this many people in this circle. You could sell to your high school, to your college, again, it's marketing. But I would just make list of people that I could communicate with, and I would find ways to get in, not touch with them, because it wasn't cold call. It was like get in relationship with them.
Yeah. Did you have any fractured relationships over selling this?
I'm sure I did.
Because people would see. The one thing I always... Because I got into AdvoCare, and we were doing about $1,000 to $1,500 a month with AdvoCare, and I remember thinking, this is good, because the guys that were above me were making, how many people know that? I don't even think I've ever talked about that on here. Did you even know that, Sierra? Okay. We were doing AdvoCare, and we were in a really, really good space, and we're at a little over $1,000 a month, and I hit that $1,000 a month mark. And you're right. When you hit $1,000 a month selling a multi-level marketing product.
It's gold.
You're just like, okay, I'm here. I'm in it. Let's do it. And it's really, you get to the point where you think about it all the time, and everybody you see is a target in some way.
That's what I was talking about earlier. But two, I think there's a belief change. I think for a long time, you're like, is this going to work? Is it scared? And that's a good moment in general. Unless you have a belief change, you're not all in. So whatever company you're in or not, if you're still living in that doubt and is this going to make it, you can't be there.
Mm-mm.
You've got to go all in. And so the moment that we had that $1,000 mark, you have that, I'm going to go all in. I believe it.
I did. No.
And so then there's for people like us that are super competitive, there's no stopping. It's like a freight train.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got to that point. And I was, that, like I said, $1,500 a month. And I remember I was transitioning out of college football. Mm-hmm. So I was on the back end of coaching. And I remember sitting in church. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting in Life Church in Cookeville, Tennessee, sitting on the front right. And I remember the Lord saying, how you need to put down AdvoCare. Mm-hmm. And I go,
I just made $1,500 last month. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I did it. It was like stopping smoking. Seriously.
It is. It's
it was like stopping smoking, and I just stopped smoking. I wasn't smoking. But I just stopped doing
yeah.
it. And when I stopped doing it, there was still money that was coming in, and I would. But I started directing people to all the people that were under me. And I still paid the 50 or 60 bucks or whatever, but I stopped. But about 6 months later, we started doing Meal Fit. Mm. And obviously, that's been a life-changing experience mm-hmm. in itself. So I get the multi-level marketing. And I will say this. This is for everybody out there that has a if this sounds condescending, please, I am not being condescending. And usually when people say that, they're being condescending. But if you have a job, and I'm just going to use a handful of examples. You're a nurse. You're a teacher. You're a fireman. You're a police officer. You're in that, let's just call $40,000 to $100,000 range of income. But you work hours. Like, mm-hmm. you can leave your job. You work from 8 to 5. You work from 7 to 3. Whatever. If you've got that sort of an ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
MLM is a great thing.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get obsessive.
And for people that have personalities that are strong and competitive, I'm all in. Anything I do, it's all in.
100%. Yeah.
So I would get off of work at like 8:30 doing lessons. I worked till 2 a.m.
Me
and my friend would do that. We'd stay on FaceTime.
Seeing you on Facebook Lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Instagram Lives.
Yeah. It's constant. And it was like, we were doing lives. We're creating graphics for our team. But it became, we had to do everything for our team.
Mm.
So if we wanted them to do it, you have to teach them to replicate it because it doesn't come natural. A lot of times, like you and I, when you can think business and you can think outside the box, sometimes that's not natural. I'm learning that's not natural for a lot of people.
It's not.
And so I just expected that out of people. I expected, hey, I give you a graphic, you know what to do with it. No, they needed a step one, post mm-hmm. it. Step two, talk about it. Step three, send it in the email. They mm-hmm. didn't. They couldn't string those things together. So then you have to go back and baby step it for everybody. And you have to create books, and you have to create all this other stuff to get them to function like you function, for them to succeed.
Why do you think that people don't get those things naturally?
I don't know. There's things that I don't get naturally that other people get, you know, just a lot of compassion, a lot of just sitting still, a lot of just being present. That's not natural for me.
Do you struggle with being sympathetic to other people's feelings?
Not as much now as I did. I've done a lot of work, counseling.
Yeah.
I've done, because I had to learn. But a lot of that goes back to how we were raised as athletes.
Sure. No, I agree with that.
There's no feelings. You intimidate, you beat, you win.
Yeah.
There's no feelings for the other team.
No,
I understand. You hit them, you win. You clean them, you win. Like, it's just, it's hard-nosed. And being raised by coaches and a dad and just everybody's so hard-nosed, there's no feelings.
Yeah.
As a Division I athlete. Maybe not as other females that didn't get raised in sports. But a highly competitive sport, you're raised like a boy would be raised.
Sure. No, so I totally agree.
Men are very not as sympathetic or empathetic to feelings or feeling feelings because they're not as in touch either.
Right.
So it's not that I had to get back to who God created me to be.
Mm. So you think it's a spiritual thing as much as it is anything?
Empathy, sympathy type stuff. For me, yeah. I had to recognize who I was and also not doubt who God created me to be. God gave me all that to be successful.
Right.
But he also gave me a tenderness and a love and a kindness that had to be pushed down so that I could be successful here, or was taught it had to be pushed down to be successful.
What was your biggest frustration with Young Living?
I think for Young Living, it got to be at the end, you know, running a team of 6,000, and it was like I want to win at all costs, and I want people to win with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always somebody that I'm going to bring them along. Just like it's the same problem with coaching. I want it more than the kid wanted it.
Sure.
She didn't want to work as hard as I wanted to work. And that was the thing with the MLM is they didn't want to work from 8:30 to 2 a.m.
Yeah.
They had kids. They had a husband. They had other things. They either didn't have the time, the energy, or the desire. And they didn't have the work ethic to put into it to make it, but they wanted the $10,000.
Sure.
They didn't have the time or the work ethic to do it.
Do you think that they felt ownership?
No, like we've talked about before, it was like, I think they thought it was going to be handed to them. It was a narrative that we kind of created, you know.
Do you think that you created false hope?
Yes. And then
Yes, I created false hope.
Not intentionally.
Sure.
Because I was following suit. I was following suit of this person did this. She's successful. I'm going to do this. And it's like, she won. I can win this way too.
And you, in turn, thought that all these other people behind me, below me.
Yeah.
Below, not negative. Behind me, below me, can do the same thing. But they got to do what I did.
They got to do what I did.
And they didn't want to do that.
No, but that was not a right narrative in my head because other people did it other ways. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see it. I didn't know it. It was just one track mind. I know this works. If you do it this way, it's going
to
work.
If you had to go back over and do it again, what would you do different?
I think I'll say this too because it's came up in my mind a couple of times. My daughter one time said, I liked you better before Young Living.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when it got to me that she liked me better when I was home playing, being fun, whatever, but I'd get off work, put her to bed and work. Or I would be working during the day, trying to do homeschool at the same time, and she wasn't getting attention because that was my main focus. So that's when everything started to shift for me.
When she started noticing
I wasn't present.
That's really good.
And it's not that it's wrong. I just did it impulsively, just all the time. It wasn't that I did not know how to create boundaries and margins. Yeah. It was all or nothing. So I had to get this done. It was important. I had to hit my goal. And then I can help you read tonight. It was like she was always kind of on the back burner for what I had to do. So that's when things started changing for me. And that's when I didn't like what it was doing in me.
So you're still doing softball. You're still doing Young Living. You've been doing Young Living for 8 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. You're killing it in softball. What did you just like smoking, did you just stop doing Young Living, or was it a progressive?
It's a progressive, but for about 3 years, the Lord had put on my heart to do an online academy. And this is before COVID. So start doing this online academy. I could start making money, do a video. Because I was replicating what we did in the MLM. There was a girl that had a Facebook group, millionaire, and people would pay her $50 to be in this Facebook group. She had a list of videos, and she taught you the business. She taught you to do what she did. It was
so
genius.
You took what you learned from MLM.
And it's what created everything I own today.
And you implemented it into softball.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. I did not know that. Tell me the beginning stages of how you use what you learned in MLM to transition it to monetizing softball.
Okay. So I started with replicating what she had done in the MLM, the Facebook group, and I created my own academy. Okay. And so it's Foster Fast Pitch Academy. I filmed a bunch of videos on my iPhone and just taught like you were in my lesson. Like, this is step one, step two, step three.
Okay.
And then I put it in a Facebook group. Granted, it took me 3 years to start doing this. What made me start doing this was Young Living started to fail and COVID started to hit. So this was the time that God was pushing me. Like, I gave you this idea and you didn't really do it, but now you're going to be forced to do it. So Young Living, there were some things in the company. My paycheck started going down.
The concept of the Foster Fast Pitch on Facebook group was started and thought way before COVID.
Yes.
So you think...
I just didn't think it would be successful. I didn't know how it would all work out.
This is so good.
Okay. So long story short, it's kind of how God moves me through life, period, is he takes something away and forces me because he gives me the idea and I don't run with it right away. It's kind of like he has to strong arm me.
Sure.
So my paycheck dropped from about 10 to 6.
Overnight.
Like it was pretty quick. Like it was kind of like just, and it was a struggle to continue because it was kind of like MLMs kind of go like this and there's waves of it, you know, and the wave was going down. Okay, so I started seeing the future of my check there, seeing that I needed to do something financially if I wanted to maintain my lifestyle I was living.
What are you making right now doing softball at that point?
I was probably making 10 or 12 at this point because I was able to do multiple sessions.
Did softball ever take a backseat to Young Living?
Yeah, for years. Because softball was just go to lessons. It was time exchange for money.
Sure.
It was my 8 to 5, but really it was a 4:30 to 8:30. Every other minute of the day I could put towards growing something different. So going back, I started doing the videos, and I had a kid come in, and I mean, I had all these videos filmed, Facebook group done, hadn't launched it. Didn't know what to do. Didn't have a website, really. It just was like, I had to figure out my own website. I just did everything by hand. I didn't know what I was doing. And a guy said, if you ever had videos, I would buy these videos today. I said, I do. Sorry.
I do.
He said, I'll be your first customer. So I launched it that day because he said he would be my first customer.
How about that?
And
did you launch the Facebook group?
Yeah. I mean, it was already there. I just gave him the link and then created the, we were able to create, finish creating the website and the link to purchase. And I don't even know how the thing works, honestly. Yeah, sure. I don't even know how it actually worked. Yeah. By the grace of God, that thing all worked. And I was like, oh, it worked when I got the money. And I was like, it worked. All the stuff I did on the computer, you know, worked. So anyway, and I launched it on social media. I already had a social media presence and I was running at the time. This is another struggle I had. My personal account for sales for any kind of Young Living or whatever I was doing. Then I had a Foster Fast Pitch account. Social media is draining anyway. So you're having to control two accounts and keep two control, you know, accounts up and be on stories on one, be on stories another. It just got fatiguing.
Why did you not hire somebody to do that?
I didn't know. And I
that's
just, 15, at that time,
$15 or $20,000 a month, that's easy to hire.
I just
somebody.
Didn't know. I didn't know how to build a website. Didn't know who to talk to about a website.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just the stuff that we do now, I wouldn't have known who to talk to.
Mm.
So I was up all night watching YouTube videos, learning how to do all this. But there, I do believe God had me doing that for a reason.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
But anyway, so I started launching. I think I had 30 people my first month join.
In your Facebook group, mm-hmm. How much are you charging?
50.
50 bucks a month,
mm-hmm.
30 people watching mm-hmm. your videos.
Yes.
Where does it go from there?
I got it up to a couple hundred. I got it to like 100, 150. I was like, I'm all in, you know, like this is great, you know, and then it kind of started falling and I started seeing, okay, they only stay in for so long, they get what they need and now they're out. How do I keep getting people in here? And so that's when we started, looking through Facebook ads and, you know, we had grown it. I hired Amber, she's my assistant, and we grew it ourselves. We bought a Facebook ad platform. She studied it and she got us to 500 in the group. Over a year from 100 to from like a I think it had went down to like 50, so 50 to 500 in a year,
all with Facebook ads. And this is people all over the country.
Yeah, I have other countries too, so.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Facebook group. Is it still, is there still a Facebook group today?
Yes, but we're building an app right now.
Okay,
so it's going to, because we found that we get to this 500, we're running ads, we can kind of keep them there at that number. That's our magic number. But to get to the next level, I think a lot of people don't want their kids on Facebook and mm-hmm. they don't use Facebook very well. It's frustrating to get in and try to find what you need. So I think our retention rate will grow and our clientele will grow if we get this app.
So this is how you're monetizing softball. You've got an online academy where you've made videos that mm-hmm. teach people. You've got 500 customers on that at 50 bucks a month, number one. Number two, you're still giving lessons mm-hmm. in at your house. So let's go back. At $15,000 or $20,000 a month, you built a pretty cool house. Where at?
McCalla.
McCalla. Mm-hmm. And you are now, and still, you built this house with the idea of, I'm going to do lessons at my home. Mm-hmm. So you still do that today,
yeah.
Correct? You've got 4 branches of Foster Fast Pitch. What is that?
So, meanwhile, I'm not doing Young Living anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I started doing the academy, I realized this would supplement the income, and I had to do one or the other. If I'm going to go all in with Foster Fast Pitch, and I had this vision for other things, I can't keep wasting my time doing this.
Sure.
And so, and the Lord had been talking to me about letting it go. And I think I was about at a $5,000 mark and I just left the company. So $5,000 mm-hmm. a month, just said.
Overnight.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just took a leap of faith and prayed and fasted and said, Lord, guide me in this. Because I knew that's where the God was leading. But like you said, quitting smoking, it was hard to say, okay, I'm just.
Let me go back. Neither one of us are smokers. We've never smoked before. That's the best analogy I come up with. And now we're talking about is smoking. So sorry. So go ahead.
So, it was hard. It's, you know, saying I'm not going to make $5,000 a month and I'm giving that back to somebody after a baby that I created for 10 years, something I built for 10 years, and letting these people down that look for me for leadership.
Yeah.
And even social media looked at me like, I need to come here and hear what she's going to say about oils. I need to get my oil fixed for the day. You know, it was, I provided so much for so many that when you stop, it's like, they're like, what is she doing?
Yeah. Why is she doing this?
So that all had to happen while I was building this online.
Okay. So you've got the online academy. You're doing lessons. Let's just do the quick math. At $50 a month times 500 people, that's $25,000 a month. So you're making more on the online academy at the time
than I ever could have.
Than you ever did.
Yeah. And the beauty of that is it all depended on my work ethic, my work, what I did. I didn't have to depend on somebody else.
You saw that people were dropping off after a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. What did you do to fix that? Did you add more content or did you do Facebook ads to get more customers?
I read a book called Retention Rate. And so the first thing we did was we went in and we revamped the website because it hadn't been done since we used AI and we rebuilt the sales pages. We made sure everything, and we kind of, at this point, we systemized my academy. So granted, when I first went in and just videoed.
This is not Facebook anymore. This is our website.
You're asking me what we did to kind of grow. Well, I felt like people weren't growing because there was a disconnect between sales and buy. So when they had to go to the sales page had to be better, the easier flow to get to and purchase. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
More people. So that was the first thing. We also refilmed all the videos in the academy, and we structured it in a system so it was easier.
Step one, step two, step...
Yeah. So we went in and just said, what can we do on our end to make this experience better?
Did you ask the people or did you
We asked the people. We asked people that were getting out. And to this day, we still ask, and they don't ever say, didn't like it. They're just like, we either don't use it right now, we're out of season, we're hopping back in, or my kid just doesn't pitch anymore, or we found a local pitching coach that we really enjoy. So it wasn't ever anything like our end. At first, it was always like, well, I think this could be better. I think this could be better, but it's really good teaching. So we just went in and just, you know, fixed everything that we thought could have been... make it a seamless process from sales page to purchase.
Yeah.
There wasn't any glitches so that they would just click off, you know?
Right.
So that was the first. Retention rate was talking about how to keep people for over a year. And the one thing it said is if you stopped what you're doing tomorrow, would they still need you and miss you? And I was like, no. Mm. And it made me think at the time I was doing an app for working out. And if she didn't send me that notification to go work out, and this is my workout, I would go to the gym and just lay on the floor and stretch and do some ab work. And
be done.
You know, like I needed that structure of that program. Look at the video. I probably knew what the workout was going to be. I had been in there so long. But it was that notification. I knew it was going to be there. I go to the gym. No thought. No time. Just go in, do it, get out.
Right.
And I said, I need that for softball.
Okay.
They go in their backyard and they throw and they do the same throw and they don't know how to fix it. They did watch the video. They don't know how to apply it. They don't know how many drills to do. They need that. Where I would just got out and said, I'll throw until I feel good and move back. They need that structure. And so that's when the idea of the app came. I want to build an app that sends my kid a workout for the day. She can go out on her own or with a dad or with a mom or coach.
Whoever, yeah.
And go do a bullpen and feel successful.
Yeah.
Have something to think about, have some drills, pitch, have a bullpen.
Right.
And if they had that, that would make them miss me. Because then they kind of wouldn't know what to do. And then they would need the app. So it's not just I go in and learn, I get out. Now it's they're using it every single day. We had a lot of people in there that didn't even know where they were in there. I would say when I had like 100 people in there, half of them didn't even know they were still purchasing.
Really?
Yeah. So they weren't utilizing, and retention rate said they have to use it to miss you. Mm. So you have to. So we had some weeding out of once we started running emails and building email lists and running marketing ads, they realized they were in it and they were getting out. So we had a lot of that happen.
Which is fine.
Yeah. No, which is what you want. You want people to use
your product. Yeah. What do you think the number one thing to growing the business was? Was it Facebook ads?
Ads.
Facebook ads. Facebook Instagram ads.
Yes. Because, one, it's the marketing. It's the billboard. It's the, hey, I'm here. But also, it's, I didn't have to be present on social media all the time, which I was so burned out on. Because I had built it originally just on being on stories every day, showing Instagram content every single day, adding value every day. It gets tiring.
How did you learn to do the ads?
We bought Jana Bishop's program.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I couldn't figure it out. And I gave it to Amber, and Amber ran with it. Like, she gets that kind of stuff.
I remember that. And then you said something about you were doing TikTok ads, right?
We weren't successful, but I think we were doing them wrong. So then I hired a marketing team, David.
David?
Yeah.
Nips?
Uh-huh. And so then we've been using him for almost a year.
David and I worked together.
So, yeah.
I sent David.
Yeah. You said
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Nips.
So we had
Nips Media.
From, yeah.
Plug.
We had went from.
He does a really good job. So what he does for us is he helps us with Facebook ads for any of the things that we do, whether it be Walcox Point, Meal Fit, Table and Time, whatever. He does a really, really good job at like understanding and knowing, listening and doing that. Is that to say, is that what he's doing for you? Mm-hmm. What kind of ads is he running for you?
Basically, anytime we do clinics, or we do my coach's certification, or for the academy.
Okay, so let's go back for a second.
Okay.
You've got the online academy.
Mm-hmm.
Four branches of Foster Fast Pitch. What is that?
So we have the in-person lesson.
Okay.
We have the online academy.
Okay.
Then, over the last 4 years, we started with a mentorship, now have a coach's certification.
Okay.
And then clinics. And now we just added remote training.
Okay. So let's go to this coach's certification. What is this coach's certification? Who cares if Gary Foster certifies
you? Again, it branched from Young Living. I wanted to mentor women and show them that they could make money doing what they do in a full-time income. Most women were working as a teacher or doing some kind of job during the day and then leaving when their husband gets home and go do lessons. Therefore, they were physically exhausted just trying to help provide. And they weren't doing it the right way to be successful. And they were wasting a lot of time, money, effort. And it just, they were exhausted. And so my heart was to teach them the business side of sales, marketing, Instagram, retaining clientele. So I, again, started with a video series. And it was like a 12-week video series. And if they wanted to be mentored by me for 3 months, they would get the 12-week video series, and it would teach them social media, website, taxes, LLC. It would just anything they need. Oh, email system, how to start doing an email system, Canva, graphics, like anything they would need for a business.
So what you're telling me is you took what you learned at Young Living was incredibly important for you. I'm figuring this out.
Yeah.
So you took what you learned from Young Living, and you applied it to your own life in teaching softball.
Mm-hmm.
You then took that, and then you saw, okay, there's got to be other ladies out there that want to make a living doing this. And so you started a platform that's easy for them to learn this thing.
Yes.
That you learned from Young Living.
Yes.
So that's your academy. No, that's your coach's certification.
Yeah.
So coach's certification is you teaching other coaches how to monetize their sport.
Yes. Well, it started like that mentorship, 3 months. And then after that, they were like, I still want this. I don't want it to stop. And I did that for a year, and I realized, how can I do this for a year? So I developed the coaching certification. And so now they get monthly Zoom calls. They get that. They get the academy. And then we have a yearly retreat where they come in, and we do a 2.5-day intensive training with specialty coaches, myself. And they get to learn all more than just – there's some character building. There's leadership. There's – developmental on the pitching side. There's business help, business coaching. But they get that as part of their coaching certification. And it's just really building a community, because what I found out is that they didn't really know they needed all of that. They wanted community. They wanted somebody to call and say.
They need somebody to call.
Yeah. And so that's our Zoom calls, our monthly Zoom calls that we have. And so now it's become a yearly thing. They just re-up. And my goal was to get 50 coaches, one in every state. We have 30 coaches. And so we still got about 25 states to have a coach in.
Tell me about your retreat. How does that, where do you do that? How is it structured, all those things?
Right now, so far, in my basement and in my house. Because I built my house with, I just structured the whole gym and said, put me a house on top. And so I just didn't want the rent. I didn't want all the extra bills. It was just easy. I can write it off. So we did that. So they will fly in usually on a Wednesday, and then on Thursday they watch me train. They're in my lessons. They see how I run four kids at a time. They see how I teach, how I word things, how I, you know, just how it runs. They ask questions. They get to hop in and work with my girls. I get to work with them working with my girls. They love that. So then we'll all have dinner at my house usually.
Yep.
We'll have food catered in. It's just networking time. People get to know each other. Before lessons, we have like a, they come in and we have that time too. They have food and
sure,
just whatever. And it's just a fun day. And then Friday starts the training. This last year we did 4 hours on, we had a guy from the military, used to be military, and he works with team bonding with a lot of the D1 coaches, but he also does corporate stuff as well. And he formed an obstacle course outside in my yard, and they got out, and we had to figure out as a team how to do stuff. And you could see if you were being more individual or team focused or foster fast pitch focused or individually focused. And just, it was fun. And he just really worked with how to ask questions. Don't teach from a perspective of giving answers. You teach from a perspective of asking questions, and then now you get the kid to analyze what they're doing. Otherwise, they're not self-feeders. They're just, give me the answer, I'll try to do it. It's life-changing for coaching. It's been life-changing for me, coaching. Then we had lunch at Taco Mama. Then we hung out at the Airbnb in Helena, had games, and just fun, hung out. And then the next day, we did sensor training, technology training. We put sensors on their body, be able to see how they move.
Right.
And then we eat, and they're gone. So it's...
Do you charge them anything extra for the retreat?
No, it's paid for as part of their coach's certification. They just have to get there.
So you've got 30 in that.
Yeah.
So you've got the online academy, you've got the coach's certification, and then now you've got remote training. Tell me about remote training.
And then we have clinics.
Yeah.
But clinics, I try to just do one a month. And we go out, and I try to do clinics with all the coaches, certified coaches. So we'll go into their gym, help them with their kids. And so that's another aspect. But remote training, we just launched last month. And we teamed up with Seams Up app. And it's an app for right now. I think it's just baseball, softball. And it's a video analysis system, but you can do live training. But you can actually get on and demonstrate and talk. They can see you while you're demonstrating. You can write on it. You can black it out and look at their skeletal structure.
Wow.
You can give them homework, programming, and then there's live chat where you can build relationships and still have be their personal coach.
What's the most profitable part of any of these three or four different things? What's making you the most top-line revenue?
The academy.
The academy. What's the hardest part about all managing all this?
I don't think there's really a hard part. You know, thankfully I have Amber, and she kind of organizes the structure and what I need to do. And if I have a live, she's like, hey, you have a live day. Here's your graphics. Here's this and that. So I think that would be the hardest part is what she does, which I don't have to do anymore.
Sure.
I just have to show up and do what I do.
How?
The organization of knowing when to be where, what live, when to go live, when to be here.
Right.
Getting everything done.
How important is it as a business owner to have an assistant?
I couldn't have grown without her. I was stuck. You know, you have that cap.
Yeah,
because you only have so much time, you only have so much knowledge, and she is like, she's like my best friend, but also she knew softball. I coached her since she was
Amber,
like
who?
Reimers used to be Torres. She pitched at UAB, but after us.
Okay,
she's younger. She's 33, I think.
Okay,
something like that. So, but she's super organized. She's Google Sheets, spreadsheets, like
she gets it.
She's on top of it. And
we couldn't have grown without Sierra.
Yeah.
We were at a certain point, and Sierra is here with us today. She's over there behind the camera type thing. And it's the same way. I tell people all the time, you have to have someone that can take the things off of you that either you're not good at or you don't want to do.
Yes.
Because if you don't want to do them, you're eventually not going to be good at them because they wear you out.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do what I was great at. I couldn't
film
any more content. I couldn't be present on social media. I couldn't do the things I did because I was wasting time doing this.
Yeah. No, we would be this just like your Amber is my Sierra. We would not be where we are without her. That's for darn sure. So let me ask you a question. Could you coach someone that is in another sport about their sport? Could you take a basketball guy? Could you take a football guy? Could you take a track guy, a lacrosse person, and teach them how to monetize their love and their desire and their knowledge in that sport like you do softball?
Yes.
Have you done that with any other sports?
Mm-mm.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Would you
actually
be interested?
To help two professional? I would, because that's what I love. If I only did one thing, that's what I would do.
Really?
Yeah.
The coach's certification.
Yes, I would help people grow their business.
But that's probably the least profitable thing you have.
One thing I'm most passionate about is seeing other people succeed and grow. I'm entrepreneurial, so I want to see something grow. I want to see something build.
It's a hard question.
Okay.
Do you think that you're passionate and all those fun-filling things about it because it's the newest thing you're doing and it's the smallest thing you're doing and you want it to grow? Or do you really think that that's the most important thing?
No, I think it's the most important thing because it's life-changing for them. It frees their time up, makes their marriage better.
Yeah.
It's ministry.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It's intimate conversations. It's getting down to the gritty. It's seeing them succeed.
What's the cap there?
What's the what?
What's the cap there? What's the number of coaches you're like, we're good. We can't do anymore.
I think 50.
50.
Yeah.
And when you get to 50, what will you do? Will you raise the price?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll probably open up, do something else, branch to the...
Yeah.
I'll probably grow something else. I'll have another idea to grow.
I think it'd be a good thought to beta test another sport. If there's a quarterback coach out there or there's a swimming coach out there or there's a whatever.
Well, I had an idea because, I was a competitive pickleball player. And I wanted to do it with pickleball because nobody has. I actually want to do the online academy.
For pickleball?
I wanted to hire.
Are you that good at pickleball that you can coach pickleball?
No. I wanted to hire other professionals and do the whole business structure but have them coach it.
I love it.
I did help two pro baseball players do what I'm doing. Now they've got an academy and they've got an online coaching thing that they do. One's local,
Who's the local guy?
Well, I don't want to mention him because I want him to thrive on his own thing.
No! You've got a local guy out there and you can talk, you don't think if you talked about him, it would help him?
Yeah, but I don't want him to think that he got anything from me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I don't agree with you, but I'll go with it. What's next?
Right now, I'm just riding this out, trying to master the online academy and getting... We love to see 1,000 people in the academy. That's our biggest goal.
And you're over 500? Where are you at? 500? 500
now? Averaging. We'll gain and lose. But again, July to August is really... It goes low. But I think...
Because people are travel balling.
Getting out. They're not playing.
This should be your big time, September, October, November, right?
So, yes. And so now we're gearing up for Black Friday launch and having the app done and completed and then writing programs for that.
Do you dip in February through May when softball, like school ball, is going?
It's mainly the summer. It's mainly like June, July. And then we realize I think a lot of kids are young that are in there.
They're not playing school ball.
They're not playing, and their summer's over around June. So it's not the 16, 17, 18-year-old going to college that's in there. They're still playing. So now it is an advanced program, but now we're trying to advertise towards the advanced program to get more of those kids so we don't see the fall off.
How much are you in the day-to-day, week-to-week with the Facebook ads?
Uh-uh.
You're not?
No, I don't. I show up on the Zoom calls, and I tell them my idea, and then they run with it. So I had an idea to... Let's do a rise ball workshop.
Rise ball. Okay.
Rise.
Pitch the ball. The ball goes up. Instead of pitch the ball, the ball goes down.
It's an advanced pitch.
Yeah.
And do these workshops every single month. So these people that have been in for the basic foundation beginner, they'll hop back in saying, oh, she's doing some advanced work. Even though the program's in there, like I said, it's Facebook. They don't see all that stuff.
Because there's so much in there.
Yes. Mm. And we're starting to bring everything back down, have limited videos, make it easier. Because there was hundreds. And people, that's overwhelming. That's another retention point thing. When you say, I have 100 videos, nobody wants to get in there
and
do it. But when you say, I have a one-page PDF.
Yeah. I'll sign me up. Yeah.
So that's the kind of what we're doing. We're redoing all that. But I wanted to, again, cookies on the bottom shelf. I'm going to send you a video. Here's your homework.
On the bottom shelf. Yeah. Explain that.
There's no hard work to it. If you make something easy and time saving, they're going to do it. If it takes their time to figure out how to use Facebook, they're not going to do it. If they get in and can't figure it out and there's frustration with trying to get to the guide or whatever I have, they're going to quit. Not going to do it. So you've got to make things very seamless, easy, not a lot of time for them to continue to do it.
Is this a sellable business for you? Could you sell this?
Yes, and but I'm thinking more of franchising with the coaches. Okay. So it's...
Give me the thought there.
Well, they're certified coaches. I've already trained them. I know they have the same system, the same belief that I have.
Okay.
Got them all over the country, and they can't afford a facility. But the facility they're at is taking 70% of what they make. They'll charge 100 and go home with 30 an hour when they can make 100 an hour.
So
if I could buy land or find a building, provide the building somewhere because they don't have the income to do it or the credit score, they just don't. They don't think that way. I can put my certified coach that I've already trained in there, and then that's the growth of the business. Do I want to? No, that's just an idea.
I would say this. This is unasked advice. I would say that you're really doing a great job, and your costs are silly low.
Yeah.
I mean, your costs are so low. Now, you got some pretty good effort there.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a good team, it sounds like, but your costs are so low. So you don't have to make gazillions of dollars if your costs are just like...
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have rent. You don't have a power bill. You don't have all of... I mean, you got a power bill at your house, but like... For the most part, you're running this thing out of your gym at your house, and you're, I mean, and online, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. So...
Part of that is helping, again, goes back to that mentorship, helping them succeed. But if you look at what we talk about with franchising options, would it not be like... If you franchise it, they pay, you know, you have that contract where they pay you back, but also I could get a percentage of what goes in and out of those lessons.
If they buy the thing, the thing is, I don't know that you want to own, if you've got someone in Knoxville, Tennessee, that's one of your certified coaches, do you just carry Foster, buy the land, buy the building? Mm-hmm. You don't, I mean, I wouldn't think you'd want to do that. Now,
well, these people already have prime businesses.
If they did that though, I don't know. I think that owning gyms randomly across the country, I don't know.
Well, you asked what was...
Yeah, no, I get
that
it.
That is
I
there.
Get it. I get it.
It would definitely have to work out, and I'd have to seek a lot of advice, but
yeah.
That's an option there. The other thing is the retreat that we do in August.
Love that.
Opening it up to other coaches that are outside and making it a big event. And then...
Maybe a sales event. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you get 300 coaches there.
Yeah.
And you're selling it, and you got 50 or 30 coaches that are really bought in, and they're selling this thing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And so then we will provide all that and then just have VIP access for our certified coaches. And then also give our certified coaches breakout sessions and let them start taking ownership of and doing that. So that's another big thing that we're thinking.
So there's a lot of income coming in. What are you investing your money outside of the Foster Fast Pitch business?
Nothing right now, but I have a meeting today at 3 where we're doing Ignite. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What is Ignite?
The Wealth Without Wall Street. They do the 6
yeah.
months of getting everything structured, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think my biggest thing is getting with somebody with taxes and just making sure I'm saving as much as I can and doing everything right. That's first. And then, but we have what we would
so you're
like
gonna,
to do. Could,
you're going to do taxes before you do investments?
I gotta save some of all the taxes I'm paying.
Okay.
I jumped huge this year.
I know that.
And so I gotta figure out how am I gonna not get busted with that.
Assets. Buy assets that produce income, i.e. real estate, yeah. i.e. whatever.
Yeah, so that's what I gotta figure out. I don't know. The one thing that I think we kinda wanna do is buy land and do like rental where they rental storage.
Yeah.
That's an idea.
Yeah, and that's a good, I mean, yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's my next thing. That's honestly, over the last 2 weeks, I've been talking with somebody, and it's just, I've got to figure that out this year. That's what I'm doing this year.
So you're for...
Now, I do have the typical the SEP, the Roth, and all of that, but
yeah.
I don't have passive income opportunities outside of my business.
Yeah. That is the biggest thing, is like when you start making excess income, is like, where do you put that money?
Yeah, I don't know where to put it. But last year, I wasn't quite there yet. We had talked about that.
Yeah, I remember.
It just doubled this year.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm finally at that mark where I've got to do something. I just don't know what I want to do.
Yeah. Don't overthink it. Like, find somebody that you trust that you can give some money to, and like, like just like you did with the fast pitch stuff. Like,
well, I thought I had to figure that out.
Yeah.
So there's people out there that can do it for me.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. If someone wanted to find you and dive into one of these things, they got a softball kid, they got a anything. They wanted to. I think the best thing right now, if I was sitting there watching this, or I knew a sports coach, or someone that loved whatever their sport was, I would reach out to Kerry and say, hey, can you help me with my basketball, with my football, with my golf, with my whatever? Where can someone find you?
FosterFastPitch.com.
Okay.
Or FosterFastPitch on any social media.
Perfect. So if you know somebody that has a desire to make money and to make an income and make a living on the sport that they know and love, mm-hmm. she probably does it as well, if not better than anybody that I know outside of like a massive celebrity that doesn't really do a whole lot. So I commend you on what you're doing. It's really, really wonderful. So reach out to Kerry, find her on the social medias, find her. I mean, I love the fact that she's taken, honestly, the crux of the story is you spent 8 or 10 years learning Young Living. Mm-hmm. You took the model mm-hmm. and have applied it to this along with, you know, social media and marketing and ads and things like that. And you've created a wonderful business. So I'm super proud of you for this, but this is also a great story. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right.